From God's holy word, 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12. Hear the word of God. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself will I not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy Father, now give us insight and further encouragement from this thy word. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. Reverend Trombetta just preached on this. It's a happy coincidence. It was something that I've wanted to preach on for a while. So he didn't have time to go through all his points. So I don't know if he would have made this one, but this is a final point that I'd like to make about this particular text. The text is this: and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 3 points. First, St. Paul clarifies for us what this thorn was. He tells us what it is. And second, God told Paul no, but he didn't simply say it with a no and that is all. He did not simply answer Paul with a no when Paul asked him to remove it. He gave him the reason. And finally, Paul did more than simply make the best of a bad situation. He actually changed his attitude towards the affliction. So first point, Paul clarifies for us what this thorn was. So what does he tell us? There was given to me the messenger of Satan to buffet me. What does buffet mean? To strike with a hand, to slap, to punch. Now, there are people who have an interest in this whole reading all out of proportion to where their interests really should lie. They want to know exactly what this messenger of Satan was. Was it a demon? Was it a sickness? Was it a persecutor? Well, demonic spirits do work through the events that we can see. And they work through people and people involved as well. They even work through nature. When Satan approached God intending to harm Job from the book of Job, God allowed him to do it for a while. And as the scripture says in Job, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. And Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine, and the eldest son's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men. Well, there is the evil one working through nature. Thank God that Job is one of a kind, that we're not all called to go through what all that he went through, though it can seem that we are sometimes, but we're not. Christ tells us in the Lord's Prayer that we're to pray to be led away from these kinds of tests. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver us from evil, says the Lord's Prayer. So Satan has the power to work through incidences when God gives him permission. But concerning this thorn, to ask if it's this or is it that, oh, you know, it doesn't have to be either. It could be both and, not either or. It could be more than one. The specific type of thorn is not the important thing to wonder about in this text. But we are told enough about it. The messenger of Satan buffeted him, said Paul, verse 7. Notice in Acts chapter 9, 16. God says something of the Apostle Paul. He says, I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Thank God that this is not a commission that God gives to Christians in general. This is a special case for the Apostle. Now, certainly the Lord leads us into various types of suffering, but it's nothing like what Paul went through. If anybody was buffeted for his Christian service, it was Paul. In the previous chapter in 2 Corinthians, he outlines the things that he had to go through, that he willingly went through so that we could be in the church today. That was the love of Christ working through the apostle. 2 Corinthians 11:23, here he compares himself with the fake apostles, the false apostles, those who wanted to be called apostles and had at that time big followings, but they were unwilling to go through what the actual apostles went through. And he asks, are they ministers of Christ? And then he says, I speak as a fool, but I am more. And what he means by this is, I am more a minister of Christ than they are. In labors more abundant, in stripes, he means the lashes of the whip, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths, that is near-death experiences, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received the 40 stripes, save one. What he means, as you see, is the 39 lashes of the whip that the Jews were permitted to administrate because supposedly 40 would have killed someone. They were not permitted to use capital punishment under the Romans. But if they wanted to, they could lash you 39 times. He went through that 5 times. Thrice I was beaten with rods, he says. Once I was stoned. So if anyone was buffeted, Paul knew about that. He knew about buffeting. And then God tells him that he is not going to remove the thorn. But then what Paul does is he concludes something about the thorn. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. And what does he mean by this? Well, he's not a masochist. What does he mean by this? That thorn, that was everything that Satan was permitted to throw at him. God enabled Paul through that to see its benefit in order that the power of Christ might rest upon him. The grace of God might come upon him in his ministry. Our second point is this. God did not simply answer Paul with a no and leave it at that when he asked him to remove the thorn. Now, you see, this isn't just about St. Paul. Paul's situation is unique. Yeah, it's unique in that he was an apostle. His afflictions were of a different caliber than ours, a different intensity, thank God. But what Paul does with his afflictions, he globalizes his afflictions. He applies his experience in a general way to the church at large. How do we know this? He says in Romans 8:35, also written by the Apostle Paul, written by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul. He said this, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. He globalizes his experience. He says, and this can apply to the church too. David, King David, wrote in the Psalms, Psalm 119. He writes this, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. So David, you see, he's essentially coming to the same conclusion that St. Paul did 1,000 years after David. And my point is, if God allowed him to be buffeted to keep him humble, to keep him from going astray in his heart, is it too much to think that he might be sometimes doing the same with us? And when he asked for this to be removed, God did not simply tell him no. He communicated with him. He showed him its benefit for him. My grace is sufficient for thee, he said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, of course, Paul is an apostle, and as an apostle, he received direct revelation of God in inspired and infallible words. We don't receive that except in the Bible, from the Bible, from Bible promises. But there is a promise given to us. We see this in James chapter 1, that when we are afflicted, when we fall into diverse temptations, and that word temptations doesn't simply mean temptations the way the word is typically used today, it means trials. When this occurs, not only are we to count it all joy, but we are to ask God about it with a promise that if we ask for wisdom, He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us wisdom liberally, but we're to ask in faith. God will show us why we're going through things that we go through. Dear God, why am I going through what I'm going through? What can I do about it? Scripture tells us, He'll show us. Now, one possible reason is He's working patience in us. But He says in His Word that He'll show us what to do about the affliction. And we can rest assured that God is more willing to give us wisdom than we are to receive wisdom. Otherwise, we wouldn't have His promise that if we ask Him for wisdom, we'll find it. It says in Proverbs and in Psalms, for example, Proverbs 8 and 9 speaks of the importance of asking God for wisdom in these things. Our final point is this. Paul did more than simply make the best of a bad situation. He actually changed his attitude towards the affliction. God tells him he's not going to remove the thorn. And then he tells him why. And as a result of this insight, look how Paul changes his attitude. Verse 9, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Does that sound like he's just making the best of a bad situation, or does it sound like something more? He says, most gladly, not just gladly, most gladly, and then that word therefore that you see here, what function does that have in the sentence? Therefore, in other words, as a result of this, because of this, I am most glad. Because of this. Because of what, actually? Because of what? Because of what God had shown him about this thorn. Notice now the function of the word rather used here. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. What's the meaning, the function of this word rather? It's a comparison word. It compares one thing with another. I'd rather go here than there. I'd rather stay here than leave. For example, what is Paul comparing? He's comparing the benefit of how he would fare without the thorn versus how he would fare with the thorn. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Notice the function of the word that. It means so that, in order that. The power of Christ may rest upon me. The power of Christ is what gave him his remarkable success. He recognized this, but at first He didn't recognize the usefulness of the thorn in facilitating this success. But when he did recognize this, notice that he had to recognize something also about himself. Well, and what was that? What did he recognize about himself? That he was susceptible to something. He was susceptible to pride. Even Paul, susceptible to pride. And given the revelations that God gave him and the power of the Spirit that came upon him, he recognized that he was susceptible to that kind of temptation. See, God can give his anointing to anybody. The question is, what will anybody do with it? God gave an anointing by the Holy Spirit to King Saul, but look what he did with it. God gave an anointing to King Solomon, but look how he ended his days, worshiping idols. See, this takes maturity to see it this way, but Paul had a good grasp of the fact that despite everything God had blessed him with, he still had a sin nature and was susceptible to certain kinds of temptation. Notice how he talks about that. 1 Corinthians 9:27. He says, I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What's he talking about? Is he saying that he might lose his salvation? Is that what he's afraid of? Is he saying that he might not go to heaven? No, he's not saying that. He's concerned that under certain types of trials and enticements, he might, unless God did something for him, ruin his witness to other people. He might disqualify himself from the ministry. And I'm sure you know that these kinds of things can happen. People are still saved, they're still justified, but if they fall into certain kinds of temptations, they can disqualify their whole witness. He didn't want that. And my point is, if that's true about him, is it too much to suspect that God from time to time might give you a little burr in your sandal once in a while for that same purpose, a thorn in the flesh? And that's not to say all affliction is for that purpose. It varies from person to person. Some people bring afflictions upon themselves, or they happen for other reasons for no fault of their own. But sometimes it's God's way of keeping us. It's God's way of protecting us. And can we allow then that that is a possibility when we have a thorn? And so in conclusion, we've seen that first, Paul clarifies for us what this thorn was. Second, we see that God did not simply say no and leave it at that when Paul asked him to remove it. And finally, we've seen that Paul did more than simply make the best of a bad situation. He actually changed his mind about what he had been given. Let us pray. Holy Father, grant that we would, when we are tried, that we would experience it with patience and count it as joy, for you do make everything in our lives work together for our good. In Christ's name we ask you this. Amen.